and speak about the gentler things.
Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time that we've set aside. And I pray your good hand upon us as we take this time, Lord, to just lift up the praises and prayers. And Lord, you even know the thoughts of our heart. And I pray you, please, Father,
that you would reason with us there.
That you would help us organize our minds and our thoughts and our ambitions and our desires and our aspirations. You know all that we need, Lord. I pray that you would supply it. And even now, Father, that you would work in the hearts and minds of all of our leaders, constraining them, Lord, at every turn, opposing them as they set about mischief and devilment, and, Lord, blessing those that are set about your work. Love you and thank you. Pray your good hand upon everybody that turns up in church, wherever it might be tonight, that you would give them the words, Lord, that they need to speak, and give understanding to those that hear. Please save souls, Lord. Please work in the lives and the hearts and minds of those that we know and love. I pray especially for Frank and the surgeons involved in working on Frank, Lord, whenever he comes over Easter time. For Steve, Lord, I know he's probably just finishing off his dialysis right now. For Steve and Pat. Christine and Marianne, for Will, for Dr. Shannon, and Lord, for Norman as well, and Link to Monica and myself. Please, Lord, I pray, your will to be done. We just love you and thank you. Please be one of our number, Father. Amen. Are you okay to read this evening? Right, we'll be doing a wee Black Book special this evening. I was just going through all of the songs that I thought we would like to sing. And I figured I like the wee Black Book because I can actually see it with these glasses. Because the writing's not much better. But we're, yes, number 10. We'd like to take a turn to number 10. We're going to sing Thine Be the Glory. If anybody has a favourite that they would like to sing this evening, just let me know. And more than that, I have plenty of hands packed.
Thank you. You want to go forward a few hymns to number 13. We're going to sing Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah next. Hymn number 13 in the black.
Jeremiah chapter 3. Chapter 4. My mistake. I've been reading Jeremiah this week, and this one here hit me like a pistol of flies. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall be glory. For us saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart. Ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, let my fury come forth like fire, and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard towards Zion, retire, stay not. For I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion has come up from the thicket, and destroyer of Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste without any inhabitant. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, the heart of the princes, and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people, and Jerusalem, saying, He shall have peace, whereas the sword reaches into the soul. At that time shall it be said to this people, and to Jerusalem, A dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse. Even a cold wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, and thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thought lodge in thee? For a voice declares from Dan, and published affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention of the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. As keepers of a field are they again her round about, because she hath put rebellious against me, saith the Lord. The way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reaches into thine heart. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standards and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good thing. But to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger. Thus saith the Lord, said, For thus hath the Lord said, The whole land shall be desolate. Yet will I not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it. I have purposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee from the noise of the horsemen and bowmen, and it shall go into thickets and climb up upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee, they will seek thy life. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion, that bewails itself, that spreadeth her hands, saying, Woe is me now, for my soul is weary because of murderers. Amen.
Thank you. well for those who pick the wrong side. The sad thing about it is that a lot of people think that even picking the wrong side they're going to be okay. Amen. Has anybody got anything we need to add to our prayer list? Yes, madam.
That's having back trouble.
That's Roger Hain. Having a bit of back bother at the moment. Please pray for him. I think he had surgery years ago. So an old ailment, there you go. And he's having to look after Monica's mom as well, so please do pray about that. Anybody else got anything else? Nope. It's not like, do you ever remember being in school if the teacher ever looked at you and thought, oh no, hope he doesn't ask me anything. Nothing. Just pray one other wee thing, and just remember Norman and myself, we are going to be processing a substantial amount of wood tomorrow in the region of tons. We pray that it all remains on the ground and doesn't land on us. So just pray for us as we work on that for safety. I think that's about that, isn't it? There is much going on over in Russia and Ukraine. Please do pray for all of the folks that are involved in that. I know there's a lot of young Russian people are just doing what their prime ministers say, and the young Ukrainian people are doing what the prime ministers say in there. And I have a funny notion if they're anything like our prime minister and our leaders, they're a bunch of two-faced liars. But please do pray for the young people and the leaders alike. We're commanded to pray for them. Fellow said they got the leaders that they wanted. So, I'll have a word of prayer and then we'll sing another song or two. Amen. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you again, Lord, that we can come before you at any time of the day or night, Lord, and we don't have to come with the blood of bulls and goats, but simply through the shed blood of your Son, Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for your great and free salvation. And I pray, Lord, that we could be such a good example of Christians that other people would see what it is that we have and want it to. Please help us, Lord, with words and deeds and thoughts, Lord, at any given time, so we can always give a good answer for the hope that dwells within us. Just pray for Pat and Steve, Lord, and for Steve's continued improvement. And thank you for bringing him back. I pray too for Colin, Lord, wherever he might be in Ukraine right now. Lord, you know really needs to not be there and he needs to be back home, but I pray you, Lord, place your good hand upon him. Pray you, Lord, for Will, that you watch over him as he travels, as he works in Belfast. Look after his mum and his granny and their health issues as well. Pray you too for Lynn, for Dr. Shine, and for Frank, and especially for the preparation for Frank's surgery. Your good hand upon him. For Norman, Lord, and for thankful, Lord, that his chest seems to be clearing up, and I pray for the legal things that he faces now, that you would just go before him and fight for him. Monica's mom and dad, for their health right now, pray you please that you'd watch over and keep them. For my dad as well, Lord, as his brother comes to visit, I pray you'd watch and keep them too. And save Tom's soul, Lord, even at this late stage. So much going on, Father, but we know that we can't keep a track of it, but we know that you can. And I just pray all these things, Lord, most importantly, for souls to be saved, for the leaflets that have gone out, for the words that have gone out, that they would make a difference in people's lives. We love you and praise you, Father, and thank you for loving us. Amen. Amen. Let's take our wee black books again, and we'll sing another one or two of those good old songs out of it. Hymn number three. Number three. Used to be my favourite in primary school. All people that on earth do dwell. Before I was saved, I just loved singing. If you're able, I'll stand as we sing.
have a favourite that they'd like for us all to sing?
Doesn't have to be from the Black Book.
If you have one there, Link, we'll do it.
Nearer, my God, to the ask.
For 27, after this, we will open our Bibles.
just finished my latest run through the Gospels, and every time I read of John 21, I just have to make a comment upon just how much the Lord God loves us and how much He's given for us. There's no better way that can be shown in the forgiveness that the Lord had for Peter. There are 25 verses. Before we get the reading glasses on, it's a struggle to read those ordinary glasses on with my distance glasses. Bet your name's having a good old chuckle to himself when Gavin right about now. There we go. John chapter 21. Word of God says, this is after the resurrection of the Lord. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise he showed himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye now caught, which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153, and for all that there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wilt. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went the saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said, not unto him that he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that not even the world itself could contain the books that should be written. Amen. Our particular text this evening is verses 15, 16, and 17. And we're speaking on the subject of forgiveness this evening. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, please be with us as we spend this time in the Word. Please work on our hearts and minds, and help us to understand, and to see, and to hear, Lord. Pray the same for any of our brothers and sisters that are meeting together to study and to preach and teach your Word. Please be with each and every one of us. Please be with that soul right now, Lord, that's debating whether to take the left hand or the right hand. Please impress upon them, Lord, everything that it is they need to know to make an honest and informed decision. Leave these things at your feet, Father. Pray that you would grant them according to your will. Amen. And before we get to that portion of God's Word, just want to make a comment on a few verses. First of all, I want to make a comment on the fact of all the disciples, even after seeing the Lord raised from the dead, they still decide to go out and go fishing. We see that all changes whenever we move into the book of Acts, where each one of the disciples is anointed by the Holy Ghost, and they go out and do miracles and preach the cross and one thing and another. This is very much an in-between time. And even at this point, the Holy Spirit is not yet given, but it shows that whenever we're left to ourselves, that we just go back to what we knew. The fishermen went back to fishing. And it wasn't until, again, this is the second time, I think, that the Lord actually caused a miracle of the fishes for Simon Peter. The first time was way back at the start of his ministry, when he caused the fish to, said, look, Simon, set out and let your nets down for a draught. And Simon Peter said, but Lord, we've worked all night and there's been no fish. He said, do it. So he went out, he let the fish down, and he brought in a great number of fishes. And Simon Peter suddenly realized that this was God. There was a part of him realized that this was God Almighty. And he said, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. So here he is again, speaking to Simon Peter and to the fishermen. I would love to understand what the significance of 153 is, but I reckon that it's just making a point that when the Lord says to do something, no matter how great the job may seem to be or how many people there are that want to be saved, they'll all be saved. There's space in heaven for every single person in the New Jerusalem, for every single person that has ever lived. The sad fact of the matter is that there's going to be a lot, well, if it was Belfast, there would be a lot of houses with boarded over windows and doors. It's not going to be Belfast, but you know what I mean. So the Lord says, come and dine, and when they realize it is the Lord, they pull into the shore with all the fish, but the Lord already has fish and bread there. And eating is one of those times when you tend to be a bit more relaxed. And as they're just finishing, the Lord says to Simon three times. This is our particular verse. Do you love me, Simon? He says three times, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than everybody else? And he says, I do. And he says to him, feed my lambs. And he says to him again, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he says, Lord, of course I do. And he said, feed my sheep. And I think by the time he came for the third time, his mind only had to go back a couple of days, a few days, to whenever he denied the Lord three times. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? and Peter was grieved. Now, I think he was, I don't know if you ever had a boil in your hand that took a few squeezes to get all the poison of it out, but I reckon this is what that was. This was a forgiveness for each of the rejections of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he had said, Lord, even at the cost of my life, I will never deny you. And he said, do you love me, Simon? And he said, I do, Lord. You know everything, and you know that I love you. And then the Lord gave a little bit of prophecy about Simon Peter, that Simon would be taken as a prisoner, and he would be executed. And that's just one of those things that happened to many Christian martyrs, still happening to Christians today. People are being taken and killed in some of these Muslim countries, and even in communist countries, people are being taken for their beliefs. If they don't believe in the country and the leader of it, they're seen sometimes as terrorists and troublemakers. One other thing that goes on here is something that seems to be a common problem with folks. Peter's just gotten sorted out, almost certainly had a weight lifted off of his shoulders, because he was carrying about this burden, this rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sees John, and he says to the Lord, what about John? What's the plan for John? And Jesus says to him, look, if I want John to hang about until I come again, what has that got to do with you? You tend to your business, and you let everybody else tend to their business. Two good messages. Mind your own business as a Christian. The things that God has for you are for you. For you and your family. For the man of the house and everybody else that's walking and talking with God will fall in line. But of all the things, we're talking about forgiveness this evening. And this is probably one of the greatest acts of forgiveness. The most plain and upfront and easily explained and understood, the Lord forgiven Simon Peter those three times for him rejecting him. Probably at one of the lowest points of his life, he forgave him those three times. But I want to give you a few other things out of the Word of God that God forgave people for. We'll start with this one. In Matthew chapter 26, whenever the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and all the guards and Judas Iscariot came to arrest him, Simon Peter took out his sword and he whipped the ear off. I'm sure he was aiming for the head. Maybe the guy ducked out of the way and he lopped the ear off, and he probably thought he was doing well. The Lord explained to the disciples, he said, I could presently call 12 legions of angels down to protect me, but this is not the way things are meant to go. I think in that moment, what the Lord was saying, now one angel of the Lord was able to kill 180,000 men of war in one night. What the Lord was saying here, I do believe, the whole world is guilty, and if judgment was to be served right now, not one person on the face of the earth would be able to prevail. He forgave the whole world just with those words. I can presently call 12 legions of angels. I am not here, the Lord said many times, to condemn the world. The world's condemned already. I'm here to save the world. The Lord forgave. I would also like to mention Judas Iscariot, the great betrayer, whom the Lord would have forgiven if he had come to him and begged his forgiveness. But Judas didn't. He let the guilt suck him down into the pit when he hanged himself instead of repenting. There was forgiveness for that, because Peter pretty much did exactly the same. the sins of all of those souls that the Lord came across. Do you remember, I didn't put any examples down, but if you can cast your mind back where the Lord said, go and sin no more, lest a worse time fall upon you. The number of times that he said, go and sin no more. The Lord was forgiving people their sins, even as he ministered to them. You think even of the soldiers that mocked him, that spat upon him, that platted a crown of thorns and jammed it onto his head. The torturers that scourged him before throwing his clothes back on him and putting the cross upon his shoulders. The disciples that all ran away, all without exception, they all ran whenever he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were forgiven. Forgiveness was there for them. The demoniac of Gadara that had a veritable legion of devils in him, he was cleansed and forgiven. Thomas Didymus, we heard mention of him here at the very start, he was forgiven. He said, look, unless I put my fingers into the wounds in his hands and thrust my hand into the wounds in his side, I'm not going to believe. He was forgiven for his doubt about the resurrection. The Lord even forgave a questioning priest. Nicodemus came to visit the Lord one night, asking questions. How is it to get saved? What does being saved mean, that this thing that you're talking about? There was even a repentant harlot, Mary Magdalene, out of whom was cast seven devils. People said that he knew the sort of woman that she was, he wouldn't have anything to do with her. And if you were even to go back to the very start of the Lord's ministry, which was the end of John's ministry, you would see soldiers and tax collectors and even just your public, all of them were forgiven by God. Now, there are a lot of people that don't want to admit that they're wrong and don't want to be saved, that don't want God's forgiveness. Because the thing about God's forgiveness means that you have to turn away from the things that are dragging you down. The devil has done such a good job in so many people that people think that drinking isn't killing, that sexual immorality isn't killing, that lies and thefts and murders is not killing. But it is literally hardening the heart and hardening the heart and hardening the heart until one day they're gone, their lives are over, there's no time for repentance, and even if there was, many souls can't. They're so hardened against God. And we're not just talking about the dregs of society, we're talking about, in quotes, the pillars of society, those men and women that are supposed to be spiritual leaders. But the Lord said, you're the children of the devil. He was a liar and a murderer from the very beginning, and you're just like him. You're standing at the front of churches and you're preaching a false gospel. You're telling people just to do the best that they can and everything will be fine. You're not telling them about the power and the salvation and the forgiveness of God and the repentance that's needed for that. You're of your father, the devil. But I want for you to remember the words of the Lord in Luke 23. All of those people, all of the ones that conspired to put him on the cross, all of the ones that voted to put him on the cross, even the ones that allowed themselves to be steamrollered, like Pilate, that allowed Jesus to go to the cross. Whenever the Lord said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, that then covers everybody. Everybody that set their hand against the Lord, he was prepared to forgive them. Did not one of the soldiers that stood by, maybe even one of the ones that laid his hands upon the Lord, did he not say, truly, this was the Son of God? The Lord is prepared to forgive anyone. And if you were to cast your eyes through 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. I think it's 9 and 10. This is what Paul the Apostle wrote them. Paul the Apostle. The Lord forgave Paul the Apostle. He hated the church. He persecuted the church. He caused many people to be arrested and put to death, and their lands and their houses would have been taken by the state. God forgave him. If you were to read the verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I think it's 8, 9, and 10. This is what Paul said. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here. Paul, in his letter to the church of Corinth, the church wasn't doing very well. There was a lot of cliques and schisms and this, that, and the other. And Paul said, do you not know that liars, thieves, and murderers, and fornicators, homosexuals, child abusers, none of those people are getting into the kingdom of heaven. Not one of them. And that would, if you stop there, that would be, there's no hope for anybody. But in the very next verse, Paul says, and such were some of you. Some of you people were liars, thieves, murderers, maybe even homosexuals, lesbians. But you are washed, and you're sanctified, and you're justified through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Not because Jesus shed his blood for you, but because you repented of your sins and accepted that Jesus' blood was shed for you. And when you see or read or hear about the list of things that Jesus will forgive, it covers, it's a pretty broad brush. There is only one thing that will stop a person from going to heaven, and that is rejecting Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you were to read in the Bible, murderers, killers were allowed into heaven. Thieves were allowed into heaven. There's good old Zacchaeus who was robbing people blind. Adulterers and fornicators were allowed into heaven. Mary Magdalene, Rahab the harlot. Religious people were allowed into heaven. You had Nicodemus, and maybe even Jairus, and one or two others. I'm trying to think. Who else was allowed into heaven? Every single person that was prepared to say, I've been wrong, Lord, and you were right. Every single person. No matter what you have done, no matter what has been done to you, there is a space for you in heaven when you're prepared to admit that you're a sinner and that you need Jesus Christ for your Savior. When you trust in Christ's finished work on the cross, that is enough and more to see you through for the rest of this life and into the endless ages of eternity. And that forgiveness will keep you no matter what. No matter what anybody does to you, no matter what you do yourself, the Lord came to forgive souls. By way of closing, if you were to cast your mind back to John chapter 3, I think 14, 15, and 16, this is what the Lord said. I can ramble on, but the Lord, the words of God are so much more succinct and there's more power to them. The Lord said, I didn't come to condemn you. You're all condemned already. Your sin nature is literally leading you by the nose along the broad road that leads to destruction. That road that will allow you to do anything. I came to save you from that. And that is what that forgiveness is. I've said to people many times, And we're coming up to the time in the year, in another, what, 2.5 weeks, my wife reliably informed me, Easter Sunday. And Frank's going to be, he's going to be not in great form on Easter Sunday, so pray for Frank, Lord willing. Just because the Lord gave his life on the cross at Calvary does not mean that you're going to heaven. Does not mean that everybody is going to heaven. It means everybody can go to heaven. You, yourself, personally, between you and God, have to admit that you're a sinner. Lord, I've done so many things wrong, but I know that you'll forgive me. If the words in my lips are the same as the words in my heart, I know that you'll forgive me. And I trust in your Son, Christ Jesus, as my Savior. And let's be honest, friends, that's what we really need. And honestly believe that so much of what goes on in the world today, people do to drown out the conviction of sin. Their conscience is bothering them. They work. I knew a young fellow that was a Roman Catholic fellow from Lurgan. He used to be one of my lodgers whenever I had a house in Kilfenny. And he would have worked from, I never saw him until Monday evening. He came in from work Monday evening, got up and went to bed. He was in bed before 9 o'clock every night. Got up at about 7 and away off to work at 8. And he did that Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday, and I never saw him on saw him on Thursday night, and I never saw him on Friday, because he got up and went to his work, and he drove straight home, and he partied all weekend. He was drinking, meeting with his girlfriend, and whatever else, on Friday night, on Saturday night, and maybe even a bit on Sunday as well. It is an awful life to live like that, with no time to settle your thoughts and to consider where indeed your life is going. Best lodger I ever had, but probably without any repentance going to hell. Friends, God will forgive anybody. From the people that we have read, you think even of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, I do believe we will meet in heaven. And he had the blood of thousands and tens of thousands of men on his hands. One of the most powerful and ruthless rulers that ever the world saw, King of Babylon. And I believe God forgave him. God will forgive anyone that comes to him. The things that you and I may have done or may need forgiveness for, I am sure, pale into nothing compared to the things that many of the characters in the Bible were. God forgives. Just do what it says in Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. God is faithful. All we got to do is trust him. Thank you for your good time. I think we have enough for a closing hymn. So if you would like to take and turn to number 6 in the wee books, we'll get a bit of practice in. There is a green hill far away. Get a bit of practice in for Easter Sunday. Let's stand as we sing, "There is a green hill far away." time, attention. God bless you. Safe journeys home. Look forward to seeing you again at the next appointment time. Don't forget our prayer requests. And don't forget to pray for each other. That's fire. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time set aside from the hustle and bustle of the world. And I pray that you would honor each head that's bowed in your presence now. I just love you and thank you, Father. And I'm thankful that you loved us enough to forgive us. And thank you, Lord, for the great sacrifice of your Son. Let us never forget that. We leave our private prayer requests at your feet, and our public ones too. We pray that you would grant them according to your will, and show the world, the flesh, and the devil, Lord, that you're still a God of miracles and saving souls. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, and according to your will. Folks, we are dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. We're off the bump and elbows bit now, aren't we?
Eh?
We're off the bump and elbows bit again. We're tripping the above.